legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Studios, storefront studios. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-855-662-4743. That's 1-855-ON-AIR-HF.
That's 2 days in a row for Phil. 2 days in a row, he's hit the vocal. Our boy has been practicing.
Oh, he's something else. He's a regular. No. He's a regular Ryan Seacrest.
Welcome everybody. Welcome everybody. So, you think we should get a pumpkin for the storefront?
The only reason I say that, because again, my sweet little wife, she's so excited about the studio, like she is. She wants to recover these panels, and she had a couple of other ideas I can't remember. And then she says, what about a Christmas tree? Are you guys going to have a Christmas tree? And I said, I haven't thought about it. She said, you know what you should do, which is really cool. I said, what? She said, hang the Christmas tree. I said, hang the Christmas tree? She says, yeah, a lot of places are doing that. You decorate the tree, you just sort of hang it on a slant from the ceiling. It looks really cool and doesn't take up space.
Yeah, no offense, Elise, but let's get through Halloween first.
So that's what made me think about that.
So you weren't saying we want a tree now?
No, she brought that
up.
Oh,
I see.
Just because she's all excited. And then I said, we're probably going to go banger crazy over Christmas, so what's the use? But we don't bang around during Halloween.
Halloween apples.
So Halloween. A nice pumpkin out there on the stoop, it'd be nice.
Yeah, go for it.
Just outside the door.
Yeah, all do right. It.
What's today? Well,
it's too late.
I should have done it by now.
Yeah.
And they were on offer there at Metro. They had way too many. They were almost giving them away. Son of a bitch.
And then who's going to, who would carve it?
Oh, I'd carve it. I even have the pumpkin carving tools that I've had for like 25 years since my kids were babies.
No, I used to have those.
30 years.
Plastic orange things.
Yeah. And
Why
don't we get one of those things where you can, you know, they're like a little form and we could carve the pumpkin into Phil's face.
Yeah.
Out of Phil's face.
That would be. You know, some of those pumpkin carvers are crazy.
No, I know.
We could have got a professional pumpkin carver to come in and do Phil's face on a pumpkin, because a pumpkin is the same shape as his head.
Pretty much.
Idris is like, no, man. We'd have to get one of those country pumpkins. That's right.
Yeehaw.
Yes, we're at Metro. What we should do is take Phil to Metro and see if we can find a pumpkin that would approximate his head size.
Bash my head in. It's a suddenly smashing pumpkins.
Or let's go to Leon's, get a big box, right? Put him in it, only have his head sticking out. So we'll make it look like, you know, it's a pumpkin sitting on like a thing. And we'll paint him all orange and make him sit there all fucking weekend. All weekend. He'll be
well,
in front.
If he didn't have so much to do after the show, that would make sense.
Oh, he's babysitting for his dad, by the way.
I'm sorry?
He's got to go water plants today, as soon as the show's over.
House sitting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What time is your father leaving?
Well, he's gone. Left. I took him to the airport yesterday.
Oh, his dad went to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was deployed.
He was deployed
to Vietnam.
Within hours, he'll be neck deep in rice patties.
He does have rice patties in front of his house. It's actually quite serious. Yeah.
He's all organic
rice patties.
Imagine me guessing that.
Imagine you.
You guessing know, hey, that there's rice patties in Vietnam.
In Vietnam.
He's got painted black on his iPod and everything.
What?
Yeah, why does he have painted black in his iPod?
Oh, what's that series called? There was a TV series based on Vietnam, I believe, and the theme song was painted black.
Oh, right. Yeah, we should all know that.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's great to have you all here. Great to be with you on Sirius XM as we celebrate the one-week anniversary of Humble and Fred's Storefront Studio. Yeah. Celebration.
I'm really pleased. I was just down in the washroom, christened it.
Today's your first?
Yeah.
When did you have time to take a dump?
I think you went upstairs or took the dog out.
I took the dog outside.
So I thought, this is my chance. I went down, had a quick little sit down. I was really happy, though. Mm-hmm. No skids in the toilet bowl. Like, not for me. I mean, when I went in there, it's not like, oh, this is disgusting. It's pretty clean in there. I know there hasn't been a lot of traffic, but if we stay on top of it, it will be a pleasant place.
So you were in there while Phil was in his office?
Yeah, but what I did?
Yeah. What did you do?
Feet up on
Caper
the squatty.
Boss.
Feet up on the squatty potty, and during emission, I flushed. And you know that flush is like an airplane flush is probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
You know the way those things go crazy? That's what this does. So it didn't even hit the water and it was gone. So
isn't that weird that we're so uptight as human beings that we know that everybody listening, everyone in this room, there isn't a human being that doesn't do what you did, and yet some part of us, even me asking that question, mm-hmm. was mostly just for jokes. But, you know, I had this conversation with somebody the other day, and, you know, just the idea of, well, that person doesn't like to go in public places, always mm-hmm. wants to go at her house. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like that. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, you know, it's sort of weird. Like, you're not doing anything that people don't do. And yet we're uptight about it.
Should I put them both on?
Sure, why not? Hi.
One at a time.
Okay, that one, get rid of that one. Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Not bad. Who's this?
Matt in Ottawa. I'm wondering, are you guys still doing the how do we sound bit?
No, we're done with that. Is the sound okay?
Oh, I just wanted to say I'm a podcast listener. The last two podcasts, the last 2 days, best it's ever sounded.
Excellent.
So, loving it. And
are you listening to us live, Matt?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I'm podcast only, Hundy P.
Ha
ha. You're loving every minute of it.
Say, I signed up for FreshBooks based on your guys' recommendation.
Say that again. Say that again clearly.
Hold on. Don't say it till we say go. What's that random caller?
So I signed up on Friday to FreshBooks based on your guys' recommendation. I'm not going to lie. It's some badass software, man.
Like, I know, man.
So cool.
You know, it's funny you say that because even this morning, Fred and I, who, you know, Fred's the head of accounting, I'm the head of sales. He asked me about an invoice and I said, oh, quick, you know, let me go check. And because of the way the invoices are numbered on FreshBooks, I was able to identify the invoice in question.
Yeah, and it gives you like a little running total of like who owes you, who's paid.
That's right.
You know, what's outstanding. It's like, if
you're outstanding.
If you got a side hustle business or if you're like a small business, this is the way to go, man.
Matt from Ottawa, everybody. Woo! Matt from Ottawa talking about FreshBooks.
Wanted to say one last thing before I go. I won't hold you too long. I wanted to also congratulate you guys on the new studio. It's fabulous. Not only does it sound good, but there's also been a dramatic drop in the number of throat clearings in my ear.
That's true. I haven't.
Yeah, I still.
You were saying you were.
Yeah,
still.
I'm having. I've been struggling a little bit, but that's just me.
Well, at least you don't have that like microfiber dust rolling around.
No,
in your home,
no, it's just
what I mean?
I need to get a little. Right now, I've been smoking a lot of old weed, and I think it's affecting me. I need to get some new moist weed.
You got to get some fresh medicine. You know?
No, I do. I'm
you
my,
renew
my,
your prescription.
Here's the thing, Matt. My I've got so much in my little weed stash. But it's dried out. I don't think that's good for you.
That,
no, I know. All right.
No. See, I thought Trudeau was supposed to fix all that, right?
I'm seriously.
He can fix anything.
That's not the kind of Canada I want to live in.
What did you call him? Flaky Soft Dick or something? What was
Prime Minister Flake Bowflex.
Flake Bowflex.
You know, I love that.
I know. And I know you're proud of yourself.
Well, I'm not proud of myself.
Yes, you are.
I think,
and you should be.
I think it's a fitting description. But again, give him time because he's going to fix everything. You know that.
What I was going to say is I would have assumed by now that he'd be over at my, you know, swanky Toronto loft, whatever it is I live in, townhouse, mm-hmm. with some fisherman's friends.
Who, the Prime Minister?
Yeah.
Oh,
Flaky McBuffleks.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt, thanks for calling.
No problem, fellas. Have a great day.
I'm going to throw some groin.
Go.
The Prime Minister comes in. I'm going to throw some groinal seed at him.
Mm-hmm. So, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
McDreamy Bowflex.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
How does that work? You see the prime minister, you just you start working up a boner.
What's that thing you say? Skeet, 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 rain, rain, rain. I forget.
You're going to make it rain Fred seed on the prime minister?
Yep. That's what I'm going to do. See, that's a takeoff on the pumpkin seeds from the girl that was here yesterday. Did we treat her good? I think we did.
I don't know. I thought we did.
She was here. I don't know what more we could have done, but when she left, she seemed to be... I don't know.
Well, Uta actually donated to our shitter fund
yesterday. After she left yesterday?
Yeah, okay. Check it out.
Things are good.
Well, you know what I was going to say? It's funny you brought her up, because Matt's a perfect... That was a perfect call. Humble and Fred fan calls us up, enthusiastic, you know, talks about one of our sponsors, and then we get going. They're kind of like, I just got to go.
We've left them out of it. And you know what? There is a thing a program director would be all over, and you had the guy on the call... You know, a listener bringing them into the show, and then you totally ignore them.
You ignore the listener, and you start talking.
And they leave humiliated.
Let me ask you something, Fred. You had a good bit going there with a listener from Ottawa. And next thing you know, you're talking about jerking off in the prime minister. Tell me, have we not talked about one theme per break?
Wow.
You could have taken that bit about jerking off on the prime minister and saved it for another break. Like, that's a whole other break.
It is. It's a
whole other... Coming up.
You should have kept that one till 8 o'clock.
That's right. Those are the kind of conversations that we used to have. But in a way, it would be great to be able to do this show with a program director.
Oh,
listen, if Howard has to put the fact that you're going to jerk off on the prime minister into context, then we've lost some of the audience.
It's funny when you look back over your career and you remember things. Remember one time we had that one PD... I don't know if we've ever mentioned this on that on this show. Or he said, whenever Fred's talking about chicks, you know, I get the image that he's there beaten off under the desk.
Oh, yeah, it's we've talked about that.
It's true. And I remember looking at him thinking, what the fuck does that mean? Like, what was it, my inflection? Like, what did that mean?
I don't know, but I remember him saying it.
And it was like, you're sort of taken aback.
It wasn't a very nice thing to say.
Like, it's almost an HR thing.
Yeah.
Me up the hall and into an office. The PD, you know, has fucked with my psyche here now. He's suggesting that I'm a chronic masturbator during the show.
No, what he was saying is sometimes when you talked, it was like when we would talk about something sexual. He said, it sounds like you're jerking off underneath the console. I never got it because very often I would look over and I'd see both of your hands near your microphone.
But then I'm thinking, as a communicator, isn't that almost a compliment?
I don't know.
Because you're talking something about sexual or women and you make it, you give the image to the listener that you're...
I mean, it wasn't like you were... No, I don't... Are we really going to talk about something that
I just remember.
I know you do. But no, I think it was more like every time you talk about chicks, like, oh, yeah, baby, oh. Sort of like that. I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
That's a compliment.
I don't recall everything, but I don't think that was a compliment.
Maybe that is creepy.
You know, because we'd be talking about women, you go, oh, yeah, But now, where we're at now is that you're saying, when the prime minister comes in here to fix your throat, I'm going to jerk off on him like a sea. I'll fix him. That's great. That's good. Can't wait for the grandkids to get old enough to figure out how to subscribe to this podcast.
Well, what about the governor general then? What are we going to do to him? If you're going to have to do that to the prime minister, then what?
You'll rim him.
Rim him.
You'll rim.
Do you know who the governor general is?
Of Canada?
Yeah. Right now?
Adrian Clarkson?
No, I have no idea. I've lost track.
His name is David Johnson. He's
David Johnson. Yes.
Really DJ.
Kind of weird.
DJ. And the governor general of Ontario is David Onley.
Lieutenant governor.
Is he still or is he gone?
Oh, no, it's Elizabeth McGovern or some random.
So Onley's gone?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, if the governor general comes in with the prime minister while you're shooting your seat at him, maybe Phil can rim him. Hey, did you hear that show where they were talking about one of their producers rimming the... Governor General?
The right-hand honorable.
Where did we go wrong in this show? It's just totally derailed. We're having a great conversation about
one of our sponsors.
That's right.
And the next thing you know, you're going, hey, remember the guy who used to think I was beating off under the desk? Yeah, I remember him. I think we have talked about that. I'm just waiting now to see how Amanda Barker's doing, because she wasn't feeling well last night. She hasn't been feeling well the last couple of weeks. And after she left here, she sent me a shot of her at the hospital.
What?
Hospital?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I did an examination last night of her. She's been complaining of a pain sort of underneath her breastplate. Just, she asked me, because as you know, as a physician, I've dealt with lots of hernias.
Oh, yes.
And, Idris, come on over. Now, you've had groinal hernias, right?
Yes.
Now, where did yours get? Did you guys, yours fix? Yeah, same with me. Did you go before me or after me?
Howard, I would have gone in the fall of 2005. I remember that. The reason I remember that is because I got fired in July of 2005, and it was that fall. I had the time.
Well, I know. Then I did it before you, because I remember when I had my hernia operation, you were on vacation, and you called me. You called me at the, this is before cell phones.
And what did I say?
How
hey,
you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you? Oh, it hurts.
He said, no, you called me. And I remember this. I was in the hospital at Shoulders.
I called you for a hernia operation?
I think you could just call to see if I was okay. What, does it not sound like you? Maybe it wasn't you.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. It's just the hernia is pretty routine. Like, I would call somebody if maybe they had a heart attack or something. That's all.
What does that mean?
Something like a hernia, I might just wait till you get home and say, hey, what's going? But to call you with, are you okay for a hernia operation? I'm not. I'm surprised I did that. So, I'm not usually that compassionate.
So somebody goes to the hospital, one of your dearest friends, and is if it's a hernia or less, you don't even call and see if they're okay.
No, a hernia operation, I'd probably say, oh, so-and-so had a hernia operation last week. Hey, how'd that go, maybe? But not while they're in the hospital, because it's elective surgery, for Christ's sake, almost.
So anyway.
It's like if, after I had my tits. I didn't have people phoning, hey, how you doing with the
tits?
Yeah,
but I was there.
No, I know.
I was
I'm
there
talking
for
about other people.
Other people was not what we're talking about. Anyway, so fuck, you're odd, man. Jesus. I find out things.
How is
about,
that odd?
That's odd that a person, one of your closest people you know, would be in the hospital and you would think, well, I won't call them for a
what
hernia.
What if they were in the hospital for something serious?
It's a serious. Listen,
no, it is not.
You know that? Do you know? Because I do. In the turn of the century, that more people, a huge amount of North Americans, were dying in hernia surgery.
Well, back then, people died routinely from the flu, for Christ's sake.
Doesn't matter. Hernia is a serious thing. Anyway.
No, but I'm serious. Like,
all right.
If somebody said, hey, Doug had a heart attack, I'd be at the hospital. Listen, you had a heart attack. It would be like, I'd be at the hospital. Fuck, I want to be there if he dies. Right?
Yeah,
or I want to see. That's a crisis. A hernia operation, it's like I can wait a week to see how you're doing.
Anyway,
that's all.
Okay, great. Listen, I'll keep that in mind. Do you have a list of operations a person could have? Like, if, for instance, if it's a knee, like I had a knee surgery, would you have called me then?
Probably not. Yeah. Wait till you got home.
Sure. Okay. Anyway. So
Brain surgery? Oh, no, I'd be at the hospital.
So basically, other than brain and heart surgery, if you know Fred Patterson and you're in the hospital, don't expect a visit or a call.
Or rush to the hospital. Your appendix burst. Rush to the hospital. I'd say, fuck, how you doing? I'd want to know, and I'd find out.
Okay.
A fucking routine hernia. Come on.
Okay. Well, maybe routine in your world, but those of us that have studied know that any number of things can go wrong.
Did you call me when my finger was done last year?
I probably did, because I have a level of compassion that you are unfamiliar with.
Fred, I gotta get over to Fred's place. He had his little finger operated.
No, I'm not going over here.
Little finger operated.
Fuck!
On.
I can't go to your house. Only for emergency purposes.
I rest my case.
All right. So, what's her name?
Amanda Barker.
Amanda Barker. I almost forgot her name. I did forget her name. So she's been complaining of this. I don't know. It was just sort of a
weird.
And I thought it might be a hiatal hernia, which is an upper stomach hernia.
Right.
It's a, like what we've had, you had, and I still have one on my left side. It's a groinal hernia. Basically, it's your intestine protruding through your stomach lining, basically, or the abdominal wall.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because I was examining her in the restaurant last night.
Oh.
And, I was just feeling, giving her,
You've done worse in restaurants.
I have.
Jesus.
Like an A.
It wasn't in a private booth or in public or...
Anyway, she was in a lot of discomfort. Excuse me. And then afterwards...
Yeah, that's not good.
No, she texted me about 9:45 and I didn't see it till this morning because I went home and went to sleep. But I'm a little worried about her because she was not, it was not a very, she wasn't in a lot of comfort.
Why did she bother coming out?
Well, because it's been bugging her sort of off and on and anyway, so now I'm waiting to see how she is.
She's not the type that it's been bugging her for a while and she doesn't go to have it looked at because she's afraid of what it might be.
Not afraid. She's just been really busy.
Yeah. There's a lot of people like that though. And they don't want to go to the doctor because they don't want to hear what he has to say. Mm-hmm. You're like me. I'm the complete opposite. I want to find out. Like, I need to know.
Yeah. She just has been busy. She has been busy.
No, when it's your health. Pain in that area. Maybe she has angina.
I went through a checklist with her. I did a lot of the triage that you would have in a hospital. And the strange thing is, one of the other reasons I want her to talk, to call us is... During our dinner last night, there was another 911 first responder emergency that Dr. Glassman had to respond to.
What happened?
We're having dinner at a restaurant. It's about a block from here. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, people are screaming and rushing to the door. The door is only as far from here to our front door here. It's a very small restaurant. So I get up right away, and I rush to the front, and there's a man in his mid-60s slumped over the railing of the patio and moaning. He's like, I'm not kidding. He's fucking moaning like this. So I rush in, as a first responder and a certificate from the St. John Ambulance first aid course. And everyone's standing around this dude. And I go, sir, are you okay? And he's like, and he's like leaning up against the rail. And right away, I get this woman to call 911. And I can't figure out.
Nobody thought of doing that before you went in?
Honestly, I was there in 6 seconds. Because as soon as I heard the screaming, people were yelling that, oh, my God. And at first, it sounded to me like he got hit in the like someone punched him. Because all I saw is a disturbance of people. And I said, oh, I don't know.
Maybe he got into it.
Something. But he was older than us. Probably closer to 70, I'd say. So when I got out there, I realized he hadn't been hit. He just basically got up from his table. He felt weak. And then he stumbled to the door and then he fainted. And then when he woke up, he was moaning. Anyway.
And?
Well, I said...
You didn't give him mouth-to-mouth or anything?
No. Here's what I did. I said, sir, do you have any chest pains? He said, no. I said, sir, are you nauseous? He said, yes. I said, were you nauseous before you fainted? He said, a little bit. I said, I felt his head. It was, cool. It wasn't clammy. I said, do you have, are you short of breath? He said, no. I said, do you feel like you can get up? He said, give me a second. So I said, well, let's not move him. And I said to a lady who's on the phone with the 911, I said, just tell him this. I said, he's responsive. He's slightly nauseous, and he feels like he can stand up. And I waited with him for a couple minutes. I got a few people to get a jacket, and I got the waiter to get... Because he was sitting on the damp... He's laying there slumped up against the railing on the damp sidewalk. So I went, and I said, can you get something for the guy to sit on? And he went and got a tablecloth, and someone brought a couple jackets.
It's checker tablecloth.
Yes, it was a checker tablecloth.
Because it was an Italian bistro.
Exactly. And then I said, can we get him a candle and a bottle? So you put the candle in the bottle next to him just to make it more romantic.
Yeah, seasoned in an Italian restaurant.
Put a clove of garlic under his tongue.
Bottle of
and I said, we need a... What's that?
Get a rose.
I said, put a tablecloth on the ground and a candle in a bottle. And then I said, can we get this guy some bread? Come on.
Bread.
How about some bread?
Get him some bread.
Can we get this guy some bread?
Bread sticks. Just come in and
get a...
So I said, quick.
Turn the music up, too. Come on, now, come on, come on.
I said, quick. Get him some bread and a little olive oil and balsamic while he's sitting here waiting for the ambulance. And then...
That was great.
Well,
so you saved his life.
Yeah. Basically. And the thing was...
Well, the story can go from there.
Sure.
Weeks from now, Jesus, you'll...
Like, what if he knocks on the door in a couple days and goes,
yeah,
listen, I just want to tell you, are you saving my life?
appreciate. Here's this gold bar.
Was he Italian?
I don't know.
He seemed foreign. Okay. Something between Italian and like Yugoslavian. Hmm. He had some kind of accent. It wasn't what I was just doing. But the weird thing is, so after a few minutes of staying with the guy and the woman's on the phone, he it was like he snapped out of it.
Yeah.
And I said to Amanda after, I said, I've never seen anybody after they've just fainted. And she said, what happens with you? Have you ever fainted?
No.
Yeah, me neither. She said she has. And what it feels like when you first come to is you're disoriented. And that moaning he was doing might have been he just didn't know where he was. And he felt, you know.
Maybe it was like a diabetic thing or something, you know.
Wasn't a stroke. No. You know, I went through all that. Yeah.
That's maybe what a something like that, you know, not watching himself. And if he's a diabetic and then went in and had meal or drinks or whatever.
Well, the weird thing was.
Had he been in the restaurant?
No, they just came in and sat down. And it's funny because there was, I think he was in a group of four people. I think it was him, another dude, and a couple of old women.
So he wrecked everybody's good time.
Yeah, I guess you could say he did.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mean to, but it seemed to me like they had just come in, and then a few minutes later this happened, and then they didn't come back in. Then I came back in the restaurant, and my waiter...
To applause.
Jose. Yeah, to applause. I came back, and everyone looked at me like, oh, fuck, there's that first responder from the Korean restaurant incident. You know, that fucker will go anywhere. He's everywhere. Like, I'm like the crusader of the West End now.
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor. Mm-hmm. So that's the weird thing is Jose, our waiter, said, are you a doctor? I said, sort of.
What did you say? Why?
What's that? Occasionally.
I said, okay. I said, you know what? When need be.
I thought you'd go, why? Because I'm Jewish? What's that supposed to mean?
That's right. I said, why? You ask all the Jews?
Ask the breadsticks.
Oh, what's your next question?
Some of us are lawyers, you know.
Yeah, what's your next question? Am I an accountant?
Have you ever I had a similar thing. Not that I responded like you did, but I had a man in his 70s die right in front of me. It was horrible. Remember that story up at the trailer? We had a beach party one night and we were doing karaoke, and this guy named Walter got up, and he about 75 years old. The sun was setting, a perfect evening. He loved it up there. He sang "I Left My Heart in San Francisco" beautifully, crooned it out perfectly, beautiful sunset, lovely setting. Walks over, sits in a lawn chair, falls over sideways, dead. It was crazy. And the funny thing is, everybody sort of converged on him. A lot of people didn't know what to do. Luckily, there was a couple of nurses there, and they came over and they were attending to him. And we didn't know at the time. They knew he was dead. We didn't.
He was what?
He was dead. But they were working on him. But in retrospect, they said,
oh,
you know,
I
say
he died right
there.
Away.
And the ambulance came and everything, but it was...
Oh, at your place?
Yeah.
How'd the
you
don't
remember the story?
Yeah, I kind of do. Yeah. How did the ambulance get down that road?
It drove up.
No, I mean, how would it know? I mean, it's a pretty tough place to find.
Because, because at what they have up north, at every road opening off the highway, there's a number. Mm-hmm. And you know what your number is. So you say Route 6235, Stricker's Road, whatever. Why did I say that?
Oh, yeah, because people are going to flock to it. Oh, really? Yeah, you wouldn't want people coming to your place. Mm-hmm. Here we are at the Humble and Fred Storefront Studios,
but it's
which is where I fucking live.
But, you know, that story was cool because the thing is he really loved it up there and he loved to sing.
Yeah.
75 years old, a bit young by today's standards, obviously, but that was his last moment.
Can you imagine that?
It was great. It's great, but sad.
Contrast, yeah, totally sad.
To be where little cable cars.
Hey, this guy's a phenomenal.
I've seen him live.
This man, Tony Bennett, has got to be 100, maybe 106, something.
He can still bring it.
Still
know?
Brings it. Yeah. The funny thing is, whenever I hear like Casino Rama welcomes back the legend Tony Bennett, and it'll say he's coming in like November 17th. I'm like, really? You don't. How do you book Tony Bennett? The guy's 105. He's coming November 17th. At least we think so.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully. Tentatively scheduled to appear. Every concert he gives, there's a thing that says, tentatively scheduled.
Just in case.
So contrast, do you say contrast or contrast?
Either. Either.
Tony Bennett's 90.
Tony Bennett is 90.
Oh, good for
and
him.
Absolutely.
But he's on borrowed time and still performing. And you know why he's probably still alive? Because he's still performing.
Exactly. Cut to Humble and Fred 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Still performing. So contrast Tony Bennett's, or I'm sorry, contrast your friend who sang Tony Bennett's signature tune and then fell over dead around a campfire at a place he loved with people that he felt warm and convivial with. Contrast that with dude last night on the Queensway slumped up against a patio railing going, and what if he dies?
The poor guy was probably embarrassed.
Well, yeah.
That is really embarrassing. At least with Walter, he died. He didn't suffer embarrassment.
And I'm there administering to him. Not really a doctor, but at that point, he doesn't know. He thinks I'm a doctor, and he starts to have these episodes, and I come over, and I'm asking him all these questions. He thinks, oh, great, a doctor's here. Turns out to be me. And then he dies with his last thoughts. I thought you were a fucking doctor. Wow.
What a disappointment.
What a shitty doctor.
Did you, so 911 was called. How quickly did they get there?
Here's the weird thing. So that's why I think what I saw is what Amanda described. Because he passed out or fainted, when he came to, he was moaning as though, first of all, again, that's why I thought he'd been punched in the face or thought he'd hit his head on the railing. But in actual fact, he just sort of slumped, you know, sort of held himself up against it and just slumped down in a sitting position. That's how I found him. And then I could see after a few minutes, like the light was coming back to his eyes because he went, oh, I'm okay.
I bet it was a diabetic thing.
Something like that. And then when he said, I'm okay, and he started, I said, sir, I don't know if you should move. And he goes, no, no, no. And he looked at me, he goes, I'm okay. I'm like, all right. And then the woman, I guess they canceled the ambulance and and they left. Maybe they went to the clinic or something, but you could just see his eyes sort of come back to reality or whatever, and he seemed fine. I went back in and I said, okay, my fucking work here is done.
He probably has like low blood pressure. Well, sometimes you stand up really fast.
You know, Idris, it's funny you say that because that's what I said to Jose. So what do you think it is? I said, it could be all these things and it wasn't. Like no pain in your left side, no heart palpitations, no pain in your chest. I went through the whole list. I said, I got to tell you, I think it's low blood pressure.
And he said, sugar.
Or sugar. Now, I never thought of that. But Idris, you know, because if you have low blood pressure in your late 60s and 70s, then every time you stand up, you might get a little bit faint. And he might have felt that. I don't know if you pass out because of that. I think maybe your theory about him having a sugar issue.
Well, that's what it sounds like, having seen my father go through that.
Because he said to me, I said, did you feel nauseous before you passed out? He said, yeah. I said, well, maybe that was it. Because he started to feel bad.
Well, maybe he would have offered that up, though. Hey, I'm a diabetic, and not watching myself, which is so common.
The next thing you know, I'm doing like a curbside consultation. You know what you need to do? You got to get more exercise. You got to cut down on these sweets, buddy.
Fiber.
Get a squatty potty for that nausea.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it was weird, man. It was a strange scene. I just thought, is there any way? See, the difference between you and me is that you would have come back in from that episode and said to the restaurant, so can a guy get a free pasta? Free pasta for season? Save a guy's life? Do I get a free pasta? I don't know how you talk. However you talk.
You know, another thing, and I've got a couple of friends who have happened upon bad accidents just before they happen. And I'm serious. I mean,
just before
I don't mean
they
like
happen?
Or just after they've happened. I'm sorry. And you get out of your car and you approach the vehicle and you don't know what you're about to see. Can you imagine that? Like somebody mangled or bleeding or in horrific pain. There's nothing you can do until, again, the emergency vehicles get there. I can't imagine that. One guy, a rollover, and the guy's inside screaming in pain. The car is upside down. You're helpless. And the thing is, they tell you, too, what do? You know, your first instinct is to sort of get down and try and pull them out, but you don't know if a car is upside down as far as flames, bursting into flames. Crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. I never want to go through that. Never want to go through that.
That's happened to me.
Oh, it has?
Yeah, I was like, I was five. We were in Hamilton. And we got into a car accident. It was in my great uncle's like old station wagon. You know the ones that have like three seats in the front?
Oh, yeah. It's like a boat when you're driving it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I was in that middle seat.
They're like a bench seat.
Oh, yeah. Common. Mm-hmm. No seatbelt.
Yeah. I was in the middle seat beside my uncle who was driving. We T-boned some idiot who ran a red light in a van with his family. And I got, I guess my head hit the steering wheel and I got knocked out. I was like 5 years old.
Oh, God.
And then the thing I remember vividly is someone pulling me and me just like coming back to life. Because I was blacked out. I was like, and then I just started crying. And this dude had his whole family in a van. Apparently the van rolled like three times with his like wife and kids in there.
Were they okay?
I think so.
You don't know?
I was five.
That's like an M. Night Shyamalan.
Can you imagine?
Shyamalan.
Imagine
M. Night Shyamalan
movie.
Can
you imagine getting in a car accident with you and your five-year-old is injured? Like,
no,
like,
I know.
That moment, like, how do you deal with it?
And if you're upside down?
I don't
down.
Even like to think
what
about it.
What if you're upside down, paralyzed, or you can't move, and you're bleeding, and your kid's in the thing, and you're like, you don't know what to do, and then you're wondering where you're so, is my child okay? You're doing that thing.
And the funny thing is, you... When I was a parent, we used to drive all over the place, and, you know, kids' seats aren't what they are nowadays. And you just do it. You don't ever think of horrible consequences or whatever. You know what I mean? You're not preoccupied with that. But now my daughter and those two beautiful grandkids, whenever they're going on a road trip, I don't even want to know about it. I just don't. And then you're not really yourself again until you know they're home.
Let me ask you a question.
What's that?
Baby John.
Yeah.
He's got a hernia operation at Shoulders. Do you?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
Do you call?
For a 3-year-old?
Do you call?
Yeah.
Do you call?
I think for a 3-year-old, no. he wouldn't realize it's routine.
No, do you call? It's not routine.
I go there.
It's not routine. If somebody, listen, man, just telling you right now, if I go back in to get my other hernia fixed, I wouldn't mind if you were there.
You know how you know it's routine?
What routine means, son.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
When you say to a doctor, oh, you should have that hernia done. Okay, then you call Shoulders and they give you a date 3 months in the future.
Do you know, and I want you to know this,
wow,
that a lot of times hernias rupture.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, get thee to emergency.
Well, same with an appendix.
Obviously. Appendix, if it bursts, you can die.
But an appendix operation can be routine.
Yes. And it can also turn septic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you might go, appendix.
I don't have to worry about that. My whole body's conditioned to septic.
That's right. You built up an immunity to poison.
Yes, I've got a septic pump in my body or something.
That's the best. I don't have to worry about septus because I have, it's a lifetime of poison and toxicity.
It aerates everywhere, and I have Drano every week.
I say... Let me tell you, a lot of people, you may not think a hernia is serious, but a lot of people
die. It can
be. It can be, and it might be.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not. Nah. Like, if you're in for a hernia operation, I'm not all, I wonder how Howard is.
Really?
I wonder how Howard is.
Well,
I just don't. I'm sorry.
Don't tell me.
Like bypass surgery? Like I'm.
Is that what would you be?
My day's ruined to think you're going through that.
Oh, that's great.
No, it's true.
So if I'm going through a bypass surgery,
yeah, I'd be
your day's ruined.
Yeah,
forget what it does to my day.
It would be a shitty day.
Shit,
because you'd be thinking, no, the person having it done. At the same time, you got to feel good for. You know, I love bypass surgery. Because think of it, if you don't know you need it, you can bang be dead. To know that you need that means that you've got a whole new lease on life. Because I'll tell you, those stints or stunts or whatever they put...
Shunts and stints.
You know,
stints and shunts.
Stints and stunts.
You know, angioplasty and
that.
It's like wonderful, really.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you have a friend that's going in for a triple bypass, feel good for
them. Good for them.
No, I, you know...
I hear you. Listen, I'm receiving what The Rock is cooking or whatever. I'm smelling what Brampton Rock is cooking.
My dad, before he had one of those, he had the angioplasty is what?
Yes.
And then there's
when they put a balloon in one of your arteries.
Right, and they
pump it up.
You know how active my dad was? He was always short of breath. And then he went in and had the, you know, electrocardiogram, and one thing led to another. And they said, hey, there's some blockage there. You need that operation. within a week, all the things that he was getting out of breath with around the house, bang, he was great. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing.
It is a wonderful thing.
And they went up through his... His
through his
thigh,
leg,
and think,
no,
yeah.
It's a leg, and it's an artery.
Yeah.
It's the it's an artery in your in your thigh.
Mm-hmm.
And they go up through that into your heart.
And now I think they're even doing it a different way, even more efficient.
Yeah.
So.
In the early days, we didn't know where to go in. We went through the eyeball, and that didn't work for a lot of people. A couple times when turn of the century, we would go in through your ear. One guy, a fucking weirdo, went through the pee hole up into the. And it was too. You know what? A lot of discomfort for the patient.
Ow. Did you know there's a prostate procedure and bladder procedure where they have to go right up through your cock hole?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine
No.
that?
No, I can't.
That. You know what I think about that? Because that's where I'm headed. I know I am.
What, for cock hole surgery?
Yeah, with the prostate. Can you imagine that, though?
God, I want to be there for that one.
Like the fucking night before, you're trying to not think about it, but... You're thinking, okay, it's 6 o'clock, 12 hours from now, I'm going to be on a table, and they're going to be sticking a rod up my...
A catheter, a plastic a surgical device.
I don't think they put you out.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They do?
Probably.
Oh, I'm not sure. I remember my dad went through something like that, and he was awake for it, and he said it was excruciating.
My grandfather had 7 of those. Those cockhole surgeries, yeah. Because for some reason...
Wait a second, wait.
Yeah!
Your grandfather had 7...
Yes, 7...
Urethric interventions.
7 to 9 years, because apparently there was plaque that was forming around his urethra, yeah. And they had to... he was very much in pain for a month.
Urethra.
Hey.
You have to pee in a
urethra.
Bag,
hey, he had plaque in his cock. Your grandmother should have brushed her teeth.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Grandma.
You say your grandfather had plaque in his cock, and grandmother beat him. All right.
With my tongue.
Philly.
Why do I have trouble believing that Grandpa Hong had 7 cockhole surgeries?
I could see it, though.
Yeah, it happens.
Not only that, you know, the problem, too, is with your bladder.
Yeah.
If you don't empty your bladder all
gotta
the time
empty it.
Because of... prostate problem, it can lead to those situations
back
where
up.
They have to go up. Oh.
You know why? Urethric acid builds up, and you don't like it. The cock blocking. we gotta undo your cock block. All right, you know what we have to do, Fred?
What do we gotta do, Howie? What do we gotta do?
We gotta take a break from all this wonders of medical science and talk about our good friends at Pizza Pizza.
It's no wonder, people call it
May
Pizza
I?
Pizza.
Yes.
We'll just switch it up here.
For the very, very best of Pizza. We say it fast.
Let me tell you, folks. This weekend, a lot of people getting into the Halloween spirit. Anytime Halloween, when is Halloween? Sunday night?
Monday.
Well, anytime there's a weekend really close to Halloween, people lose their minds. And that's why Pizza Pizza is open until 4 a.m. tonight and tomorrow for the Halloween weekend at select locations only. Mm-hmm. But they're doing that because they're smart. They're like, hey, man. You're going to be out, you're going to be having fun, and we want to make sure that when you get that kind of hunger, and I think you know what I'm talking about, you know, celebratory hunger. Mm-hmm. It's 3:30 in the morning, you're like, man, I'm hungry for some reason.
And pizza's easy to please.
Pizza.
Too,
right?
Yeah.
How many times? Well, now you can go do it, my friends. You can get any kind of pizza that you like at Pizza Pizza this weekend until 4 a.m. And just before we go to break, Fred, would you like to tell us about these wonderful people?
Sleepcountry.ca. Go there and check out their e-flyer. It's updated all the time. Right now, take advantage of the Simmons Beauty Rest Sale. Head-to-toe support that conforms to your body. This is quality, these mattresses. The price, beyond belief, and you know they'll match any price at Sleep Country Canada. Go on in and talk to them about this Sealy Beauty Rest deal. And at the same time, talk to a sleep expert because there's different styles and different firmnesses. And
different what?
Firmnesses.
Okay.
Isn't that a word?
Yeah, no, I like the way you said it.
Firmnesses. So you talk to a sleep expert and they'll help put you on the right one. the right Simmons. Sleep Country Canada. Why buy a mattress anywhere else?
Good morning, North America. We have an
That's not what I wanted to hit.
Sometimes I just don't feel like waking up.
A little bit of music here suggested by our own producer, Philippe Hong. Who's this, Phil?
Rick Astley. Rick Roll. Yeah. Number one in England.
This is brand new Rick Astley music.
Released this month.
Released in the last few weeks. Phil threw it my way. We thought it... What's the name of the song?
Angels on My Side.
Yeah. And you know, when Phil sent this to me, Freddie, he said, hey, this has got a real kind of rolling in the deep Adele vibe to it. So it? Enjoy it. What?
Does it?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Seems pretty good. We'll take a quick break here. It's Humble and Fred Radio on SiriusXM Live each and every Monday through Friday and around the world anytime you want at humbleandfredradio.com.
Hi, this is Eddie Pepitone, and you're listening to Canada Laughs.
Support the Humble and Fred Show, you can. It's not that big a deal. Our GoFundMe campaign is still... We can't hear anything?
No, I've got no headset now.
What?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's okay. Don't worry about it now.
Oh, there you go.
Hello. No. No. No headset. But that's fine, Howie.
Oh, I know why.
Why is that? There you go. What happened?
That wire is very tentative.
Oh.
And we should probably get you another jack. Jack. You can support the Humble and Fred Show. Go to our Facebook page and check out the GoFundMe campaign. Even though we have opened our studio for business 1 week ago today, we had our grand opening. But the fact... Stop it. The fact is... There's still room. There's still room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it down?
No, no. Fix the connection or whatever.
Well, it's just tenuous, dude.
Okay, then.
Hold on.
I'll live with the tenuation.
Is it a tender connection?
Hello, testing okay? 1, 2. Now it's just fuzzing out on
me. Well, because your input is fucked.
Man. Okay. Anyway, it's fine.
Well,
whose headphones are those?
I don't know.
Where'd you? Are those ones working?
Next door. Perfect.
All right. Well, let's use those ones then. No, we won't use those today.
Okay.
Put those away.
Believe
me.
Listen, Humble and Freddians, we'll get there.
Hey, man. You know, I got a...
Hey, man.
Dude, in 3 days, like yesterday, we barely even mentioned the sound. And the only reason we mentioned it today is because Matt from Ottawa called and said it sounded great.
And again, we don't have a team of engineers like the big corps have. They don't have big teams either. They fired most of them, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I worked in Peterborough.
Did you?
You know, when I was there, they had like... By the time I left, they had one engineer for Cornwall, Kingston, and Peterborough. So you had to if you had a problem, you had to wait your turn. It was unbelievable.
Like, there's a technician that's driving around all these three towns.
Why is it?
Fucking, that's right.
Wow.
How old am I going to be before I can hear the word Cornwall and not think cornhole? Like, I'm sorry. I just can't help myself. Cornwall. Oh, so they only had one engineer for cornhole.
Yeah, when I first got there, each of the markets...
It takes an hour to get there.
Each of the markets had a guy, but by the time I left, it was... Yeah, they had whittled it down. But the business is very strong, Howard.
Business is strong.
Very strong.
The fiscal third causes.
Cornhole.
Cornhole. Who's the engineer for cornhole?
Oh, is that guy.
Anyway, the thing is, here's the deal. Sweet Barker, I'm looking at an email right now. She was in the hospital until 3 a.m. So where are the bios attached to this email? This is what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I was just rolling through. That's a long string, man.
No, I can't. Oh, there it is. Oh, the disenchant. Here, I got it. Disenchanted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Starvox Entertainment. They're good people. We've had their people on our show before. The hilarious hit musical Disenchanted is on in Toronto. It features Merritt Cruz, Madison Hayes Crook, and Daniela Richards. I'm assuming those three are downstairs warming up. Yep. Can't wait. Anyway, we're going to have them on the next 15 minutes or so. Welcome back to the show. If you're anywhere in the on the continent, Phil,
and Puerto Rico,
and,
you know, once in a while.
Hey, Phil, if somebody wanted to phone us, what would they do?
It's a 1-855-662-4743.
I say.
Awesome.
I say.
It's so
come on,
free.
Give us a call. Tell us how great we sound.
It's free. That's the best part.
If you'd like to call and tell us how great we sound.
Mm-hmm.
1-8-something.
We can take it.
What is the number?
1-855-662-4743.
It's going to be a nice weekend in Toronto. I don't know what's going on where you live. You said you were scraping snow off your windshield.
Ice more than snow. Mm. But yesterday when I went out, there was wet snow all over the vehicles, and I brushed it off quickly.
And today, in a certain direction too, right?
And today I didn't know where my ice scraper was, so I had my credit card scraping the window so I could see.
Well, your credit card would be super sharp.
And why would that be, Howard?
Because it's brand new.
No, it's not brand new.
Okay.
I've had it for quite a while.
But I just imagine.
The term rarely used would have been better.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's where you were going.
That's kind of what I was going for, that it's crisp. It's not been used all that much.
In fact, it's better to say that it's very old.
Yes.
Very old. It's ancient. But it's been hardly used. That's what you want.
One of the, okay, well, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for doctoring my bit. You're the bit doctor. This weekend, tomorrow is supposed to be 19 degrees. Oh, there's somebody calling to tell us how great we sound.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. You all sound great.
Thank you.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from, I'm on my way to work from Newmarket down to the city on Bayview Avenue, Toronto. And guys, go back a way long way.
And yes.
I got XM radio not long ago, and I still have not discovered all the stations. I came across, I mean, listen to this one here, and then I see Humble and Fred, and then I freaked out. And it's just so nice to hear you guys again. It's been 2 weeks now. I've been listening steadily every day. I did try to call twice to say thank you so much for getting back on the radio.
Well,
wow.
That's very nice of you to say.
By the time I get to work, I'm ready to take on the world because I'm just in a good mood.
You know,
you guys, you remind all your listeners that this is what life is all about. If you have no humor, you have nothing. And it's the only thing that seems to get us through so much of everything these days. So thank you.
What's your name?
My name is Bruno.
Bruno?
Yes.
Thanks, Bruno. No, that's great. You know, that's one of the things, you know, that, sort of on our agenda that if we could somehow get the word out a little better that we're available on SiriusXM, a lot of people in the GTA, such as you, would be inclined to listen or subscribe.
Absolutely, and I can assure you, I am one of your free marketing persons that is out there and letting people know. And it's even, I think, inspiring some people to think about getting XM radio. And, you know, you said this week earlier, you know, it's so cheap for what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best entertainment value. And I'm just so glad because it's been so long since I've heard you guys.
Well, Bruno.
Wow.
Bruno, this is Howard here. Would you be kind enough when you get to work doing whatever grown-up job you do, would you send us an email? It's Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Just basically sum up what you said, because I think the people that we work with at SiriusXM should know that there's a whole bunch of people like Bruno that are looking for radio, and maybe it's Humble and Fred or maybe it's Stern or whatever, that if they just knew that this stuff was available, they'd be inclined to subscribe, much like yourself.
I will I will do that, absolutely.
You're a good boy, Bruno.
Well, thank you very much, and keep the spirit up. And by the way, what time do you actually start the show in the morning?
7 a.m. Eastern time.
At 7, and it goes until what time?
9.
Goes to 9 live. Wait, Bruno, and then it repeats for you people on the West Coast. You get the whole show all over again at 10 a.m., but Bruno, here's a little secret. At 9 o'clock, Humble and Fred, keep on going. We do sometimes an extra 20 minutes. We call it a podcast extra, and you can get that daily. You download the show at humbleandfredradio.com.
Wow. Fantastic. Well, listen, thank you again. Keep it going. And by the way, where are you guys operating out of? Like, what, are you in Toronto? Or where are you?
Yeah, man.
956 The Queensway.
Oh, wow.
Just east of Islington.
Great. Yeah, we have a storefront studio. We opened it up for business a week ago, but we've been doing this show in some version for the last 5 years on our own. And Bruno, don't forget to go to our Facebook page and like it. Follow us on Twitter. Call me at night. Take care.
I will do that.
You're a good boy.
Thank you.
There's Bruno.
Thanks, Bruno.
Sweet boy.
Thank you.
I called him Brune.
Yeah, because you were buddies now. How great is that?
That was wonderful. Fred, or Phil. Phil, highlight of the day.
Well, that and the other sponsor thing. I want them both sent to me. Okay. To the sales department.
And there, we had another caller on the line there. Sorry we didn't get to you. You can call back if you want. We should turn this son of a bitch into nothing but a call-in show.
That's right. If there's some way,
go ahead, caller.
If there's some way we could make this job easier. Just do.
Go ahead, caller. You talk away. I'm going for coffee.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then we would play the hotline bling. Hey, everybody, call the hotline. What's our phone number?
1-855-662-4743.
It's 1-855-662-ON-AIR-45.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Let's talk about the...
Look it.
Go ahead, just hit it for a second. Hang on, caller. Hang on, caller.
Do you want to talk about the bike lane on Jarvis?
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I just wanted to call in to let you know the sound quality on that last caller was horrible.
Oh, of course.
The call was horrible? No, I think he's just taking us. Are you being serious? Was the call horrible or just the...
No, I wasn't being serious.
Yeah, he's doing a bit.
Oh, thank
God. Damn it.
Come on, we're very sensitive and fragile.
Yeah, sound quality is great.
Okay, man. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Right on.
It's 956 The Queensway, Humble and Fred's Squatty Potty Storefront Studios in the 5-Hour Energy Performance Green Room. And, you know, Fred already had himself a Squatty Potty Poo today. How great do you... Excuse me, sir.
Mm. Yes, sir. Yes.
What's your name?
My name?
Yes.
Lars.
Okay. Lars, I'm just wondering, you've recently evacuated your bowels using the Squatty Potty. How did you describe the experience?
Very fulfilling. Up until my experience with the Squatty Potty, I never really felt like I had total evacuation. I always felt like there was just something left to be done.
Yes.
Since I got the Squatty Potty, I'm a new man.
So, Lars, you're saying that prior to the Squatty Potty, there was unfinished business.
Yes, and it makes sense because I get the impression when I get my feet up like that, I'm taking a kink out of my coil and allowing the poop to be released.
Well
in
said.
In its entirety.
Well said, mm-hmm. Lars. Squatty Potty available at Canadian Tire, Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon.ca, and SquattyPotty.com. Make sure you order one now. Makes a beautiful Christmas gift for any member of your family.
And a Halloween fright in case you feel like a nice poo. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the Mitsubishi Motor Car Company. Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. What a wonderful thing. I mean, I don't know about you, and this is me being serious, so I'd like you to respond in kind. I still am thrilled. Every time I look down, I go, we're about to talk about Mitsubishi as a sponsor of the Humble and Fred Show. Does that not give you warm feelings in your cuckles?
It certainly does, because it's great to have a car company as a sponsor, but this particular car company... You know, I scroll through their website and I see all the products they have. I mean, good-looking vehicles. They are. They're good-looking vehicles. And backed by a 10-year powertrain warranty. I mean, you know, that's the market leader when it comes to peace of mind. Is it not, Howard?
Yes.
And great
value. It's fantastic.
Too.
Great value.
Absolutely, because they have the latest model Mirage G4, which is a sedan version of their Mirage.
I'm looking at it right now.
Vehicle. Yeah.
No, they're really cool looking cars.
Absurdly priced. It's a
you know everything
car.
From the Outlander to the RVR to the Lancer Sportsback or Sportback, and as you say, the 10-year warranty is absurd.
It really is. Great vehicles, great prices, great warranty.
And if you're in the Southern Ontario area, you can go into a GTA Mitsubishi dealer and say hey to them, or anywhere across Canada. All these deals are nationwide. It's pretty cool. All right. You know, we have had a long association with our friend Stuart Ingalls at 5-Hour Energy. And for some reason, separately this week, several people have asked me, hey, can you get us some more 5-Hour? And I'm like, yeah, because we really could. It would be such a nice thing to give away. So I'm going to see if we can't, you know, use our storeroom and stock up some more 5-Hour Energy. Because everyone loves it. It's delicious and nutritious.
For a while there, it was a nice parting gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And everyone wanted it, and we gave it all away.
Yeah. And it's great to see it in action as well, because Amanda used to literally take our office supply and have it just before the show. And just
Amanda Barker.
Yeah, Amanda Barker.
By the way, make sure these guests we're having in recently don't take those Sherpa, Humble, and Fred mics. Or mugs.
Because
they're to wash out and use for all guests. Mm-hmm. They're not parting gifts. That would be expensive.
Where are we at with the Cubs? The series still tied, or did they play last
1-1
night?
1-1 tonight, game 3.
Game 3.
First World Series game in Chicago since 1945. Yeah. Which is going to be quite... And I would assume, if it's getting mild here tomorrow, that by this evening in Chicago, it's going to be pleasant. Which is an interesting thing about the World Series. I mean, you know, it's a summer sport. You play all summer in the heat and the sunshine, and then all of a sudden, when all the marbles are on the table, it some nights, like the other night, it was cold.
Yeah.
Like in Cleveland, it was cold. Like, they were wearing big mitts and toques. And
Major League ballparks, I would say, I only say this because it's a sense I have, that most of them are still uncovered outdoor stadiums.
Oh, there's just a handful. That are covered. And the ones that are covered, I think, are more for the heat than they are the cold, like Arizona and Houston.
But not here, not here in Toronto.
Not here in Toronto. I'm just saying the covered stadiums in baseball are more for the heat than they are the cold.
Well, I'm gonna be at my buddy Dave's tonight, but I'm going to try and keep the TV on just because I want to get a sense of this Cubbies. I want to get a sense of my Cubbies, as I call them.
Your Cubbies.
Yeah, they're my Cubbies. Cubbies.
I'm going up.
Playing the engines.
I'm going up north to my buddy Darren's cottage. It's going to be great. We might have a little bit of a campfire. We're going to have a nice dinner, and then we'll probably sit down with some Honey Jack, among other things, and watch
are you gonna
the
get,
game.
Are you going to get right pissed?
No. I might get a buzz on.
Let
I can't,
it go,
I can't
man.
Drink the way
let
I
it go.
Can't.
When are you going to let it go, man? How many more years do you have to let it go? Let it go. Get drunk. Just savor it. You and Dan and Darren should get into a fight.
No, Dan and Darren will probably, you know, they'll partake in that stuff that you do.
What stuff is that?
The
organic
vapor stimulant.
Marijuana.
Yeah.
Which is so much better for you than Honey Jack. No offense.
Okay.
Are you going to try? What do you mean, okay?
Oh, okay.
It's way better for you.
I drink Honey Jack maybe once every 2 weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, should drink it more.
Like, if I was hitting the, you know, if I was doing half a bottle of Honey Jack a day, then maybe, that's better than this, but believe me, it's...
It's what?
It goes into my system, like, once a week, so the
No, now it's once... Wait.
Or once
a second
every
ago.
Week.
The health... Once every two weeks,
now it's once a week.
The health implications, I don't think, really are there.
And do you think the health implications of marijuana?
I don't know. I can't comment on it. I don't know enough about it. Not the way you do it? No.
Yeah.
Although if you do it every day, I don't know.
That's good for you.
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't. You know what? I refuse to comment or criticize something I don't know about.
You should get a little bit of a buzz. Watch your cubbies. Watch my cubbies. Should we have them on now? Is that when they're... Can you go find out when they were scheduled?
I have a Humbo. I have a Fred. Humbo and Fred.
What's up?
No, on that point, though, I was thinking about this the other day. People that are, like, alcoholics.
Yeah.
And I know there's beeraholics.
Yeah.
But, like, there's people out there, like, drinking a bottle of vodka. Like, how do you... Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you feel moment to moment?
I know
like, what
somebody.
What do you feel like when you get up in the morning?
Check this, dude. I know somebody who told me a story recently. Somebody that's in their family drinks so much vodka in a day. And I had the same question.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically always drunk. But to them, it's not like it would be for you and I to drink a half a bottle of vodka. We'd be so pissed we couldn't move.
And not want to do it for months.
And not want to ever do it again, maybe. But this person's brother is like such an alcoholic that if he stopped drinking, would have to go into detox. Like he would be shaking and his body would, because your body gets saturated. But he was telling me this story that his brother sometimes wakes up in the middle of the night.
And has a drink?
Has a drink. And the reason he does is because he needs to maintain a level of alcohol in his system. I asked the same question you did. How can you do that every day? But, you know, I know people. There are some people that drink 10 or 12 or more beers in a day.
No, I know.
To maintain a level of alcohol.
I've often said, you know, I tried to be a smoker but could never do it.
And sure.
It's the same. You know, what is it about an addictive personality? Because the same way, a good friend of ours the other day, on the golf course, I saw him light up a cigarette, and I was really surprised. I didn't think he would light up a cigarette, especially with $1 million voice. And I was just thinking, you know, that is I he even one said
of those
that
guys,
to him.
Is he one of those guys that just smokes on the golf course?
So he said, yeah.
I got some friends like that.
But the point being, when I see somebody, you know, somebody that smokes a pack of cigarettes a day, cigarette to cigarette, how does it not go through your mind that this is not good for me? And you stink?
Yeah.
You have a shitty taste in your mouth?
Yeah.
You become obsessed with it? Like, I don't know.
It's funny. Like, what a strange... Yeah. It's interesting because I haven't thought about that, but I have several friends that claim... One guy in particular claims he only smokes when he plays golf. Right. But when he plays golf, man, you guys smell good.
All he has is that.
All of a sudden, I got a whiff of fresh lady, fresh woman.
Mm-hmm.
Just fresh woman.
Lady.
This dude chain smokes. Like, he smokes a cigarette every other hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes in and has a shower so that his significant other...
Doesn't know.
Doesn't
she
know.
She knows.
I know. How can you not know?
She knows. Anyway. Here, he only smokes when he golfs.
Yeah.
On the golf course, on the computer when he gets home, mini putt with the kids.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
You got him.
He's got it figured out.
Okay.
Anything to do with golf.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
When he drives his golf, I don't know what to say.
On and on, Howie.
Yeah. And please welcome to our program three of the stars of the fantastic musical comedy. Is it comedy?
It's
okay.
Definitely.
Can you get those headphones off that? Thank you very much. Because it's going to get all feedbacky and stuff. Please say hello to Merritt Cruz, Madison Hayes, Madison and Daniela Richards. Hi, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
You just get right on the microphones.
Yeah, yes.
You don't need to wear headphones if you don't want
good.
To.
Oh, good. Okay, I wasn't sure.
Okay, so I want to do this because I was saying the name. So Merritt is Snow White.
That's right.
Here, let me just... Okay, these microphones are... They're not like...
get right up on them?
Get in.
Okay.
Get in there, man.
Got it.
Where's Daniela? Which one are you on, Daniela? Talk.
Hello?
Go.
Hi.
You're on that one? Go.
Yes.
Okay. And so Merritt is Snow White. Mm-hmm. That's Merritt, Daniela. And then there's Madison.
Yeah.
All right. So what is Disenchanted? Or is it a comedy? Is it a musical?
It's both of those things.
Yeah.
It's a very modern day look on Disney. Sorry, should I get closer?
Yeah, I can't do that whole thing. Yeah.
It's a modern day take on Disney princesses, and it's a hilarious show. It's Yeah. It's all about what happens after Happily Ever After. So it's the more sassy side of what it's like to make the beds and take care of seven men.
Sure. Because everyone thinks, oh, great, Snow White's got the seven dwarfs, but you got to service those guys. Yeah. I don't care. Seriously, that's a lot of, okay, Doc, go ahead. Yeah. And then you got Sleepy over here, and you're just, you know, it's dwarf dick everywhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, and I think these ladies have gotten a little fed up with a little too little, if you know what I mean.
Right. And Daniela, you're Sleeping Beauty. Merritt is Snow White. And Madison, you are Cinderella.
I am.
And do you all, I heard you guys warming up downstairs. Do you all, is there a point in the play, which is now running in Toronto at the fabulous, where is it?
The Randolph.
The Randolph Theater. Performances every evening at 7:30. Tickets available at Ticketfly.com. Do you guys sing together at any point?
We do, actually, quite a bunch. The opening number, which between song and monologue is about 8 to 10 minutes long, is just the three of us. So as opposed to your typical musical number that has these giant choruses and very flashy, and it's just us three, which is quite unusual, I think, and really fun to do. We get a lot of interplay, the three of us. Mm-hmm. That's most of our show is us.
The three of us.
Well, look at this, Fred. Broadway box raves. Think Bridesmaids for Disney princesses. Is there any point on stage where you have, like, dysentery? Like that scene in Bridesmaids where they all poop themselves?
And we have a drunk Little Mermaid. Sleeping Beauty's got a little bit of the narcolepsy. And so we've got some... unprincess behavior, if you will.
So it's not like, even though it's Disney-esque, I don't bring my kids to this.
Please
or my
don't.
Grandkids.
Yeah. I would say...
Who said that? Please don't.
Please don't.
Whatever you do, because do not bring children to this play.
When you started, I'm thinking, hey, geez, it's getting towards Christmas season. Maybe I'll take the grandkids to this.
And
you know,
it's
Disney dwarfs.
It's happened that way where we've come out on stage and just seen like a 7-year-old sitting in the front, and we're like, all right,
you're gonna hear words you haven't heard before.
Fasten your seatbelt, kid.
But I think a mature 14 is usually okay for this show.
Madison Hayes Crook is Cinderella, and I don't know. Every time I look over at her, she seems scared somehow.
It's really early. I'm not scared. I'm just not quite awake.
Okay. She needs a coffee or two. Now,
no, do you guys own this production?
No, we don't. I mean, that'd be great. Get the residual checks.
Can you tell us about the box office?
No, because just like what we do,
income.
Like what we do nowadays, I know a lot of people like you, you know, fire up their own thing and rent the venues, but you don't own this.
No,
we don't.
It's being put on by Stravox Entertainment.
That's right.
Who, you know, does a bunch of shows around town.
Yeah, they're friends with Barker, and we've had a bunch of Starbucks people. I think Graham.
Right. They really pay you well.
Graham of Thrones.
Graham of Thrones is a Starbucks thing.
Oh right. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
And what will you be featuring today on this epic show that you're on?
It's a song about.
It's not 8 to 10 minutes long, is it?
No. Okay. No. Don't worry. It's a normal.
We have a very short attention span.
7.5.
Okay.
It's a song sort of nearer the end of the show, and it's kind of snow. Everybody gets pretty much their own song because there's six women in the cast, and then we have a bunch of group numbers, and so this is Snow White's song.
And you're going to sing it together, or are you guys going to be, what happens just, I know in musicals they just break into song for no reason.
Right, yeah.
What's happening just prior to this moment in the production?
The neat thing about the show is that it's in a cabaret format, so there's not a whole lot of through line of story other than the fact that they're putting on a show with these songs to tell you what their life is like.
Oh, I see.
So literally just there's my voice going, and now please welcome back to the stage the one, the only, and then spotlight pops up on me and I'm like, me.
Oh. All right, well, let's do it, people. I liked it. Yeah,
here
great.
We go.
All
right. Back in the olden days.
Why don't you wait till the siren just goes by?
No, that's why I'm coming here.
Nice. You like that?
We're really street here.
We're really street.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are.
Yeah, we are.
That's proved it.
We're like, we're just like, we're gangsters.
Yeah, oh yeah, okay, I got so that yes, feeling. I can definitely instantly.
See that. The collar shirt really, really throws that
Yeah,
in.
We're super gangster. I just wear this to cover my ink.
Fair. Yeah, that professional atmosphere. Yeah. Back in the olden days, when I had a chore to do, I'd whistle through the daily grind until my face turned blue. Now the centuries have passed, and I pray things change real soon. 'Cause here I am still whistling while I'm dusting, while I'm bristling, and it's a woman that gets me bristling. So it's time I change the tune. No one here wants me to do dishes, then to that I say, you. And when he wishes I would mop the floor, well, he can that too. He thinks I'll clean his house, then just sit quiet on the shelf. Well, if that's the fairy tale he wants, then he can go himself for years.
For years,
we've made the bed
and whistled senselessly while we stayed mute.
While we stayed mute.
But now we must grow somberous and stop this mindless whistling and tell,
the prince
to take us out of danger bands and stick them up his charming. So when he tells you to do laundry,
I'd like to see him try.
And when he wants the bathroom cleaned, well, he can eat
and die.
And if he doesn't shape up, he can kiss my goodbye. 'Cause I'll whistle straight out that front door,
and the guy can go mop his own floor.
I ain't gonna take it up the no more.
Huh.
So we've one last thing to do, and that's to say I love you dearly. But if things don't change, then I'll simply say
fuck you.
You guys.
Wonderful.
That was cool. What's it like being, you know, beautiful, smell great, can sing? What's that all about? Madison?
You really should ask them. I'm not too sure. Yes,
it feels amazing.
Are you guys like in musicals and stuff all the time? Are you comedic performers? Who are you?
Yeah, I mean, we've all done musical theater.
Have you done Wicked?
Not
no.
yet.
No, give me a year.
Is that what everyone wants to do? Wicked?
Ideally, yes.
Yeah,
that's
great.
That's what I would be doing.
Can just talk right in.
Yes.
What do you mean, ideally, that's what I would be doing?
I would like Broadway to hire me. That would be great.
Broadway. Did you want the part of what's your face? Who's the
Kristen Chenoweth?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably actress, yeah.
Do you want to be the squeaky blonde?
That's my hit. That's what I do.
That's your thing. Yeah.
She's warming up in the show for it.
Yeah, it's a step on the way there.
Do you want to throw a little, what's her face? Glinda?
Mm-hmm. A little
Glinda? Do you know all the songs?
Yes.
Give me something.
Whenever I see someone less fortunate than I, and let's face it, who isn't less fortunate than I? My tender heart tends to start to bleed. And when someone needs a makeover, I simply have to take over. I know exactly what they need.
Wow, very
Ooh,
nice.
Yeah, queen.
Now, would you, because you're dark, dark and stormy.
In my soul, maybe.
Would you be, would you be the Green Witch? Is that who you want to be?
I do, but I don't think I can sing that high.
Oh,
she belts pretty high.
All right. You know who sings? You know who sings very high is my boyfriend.
Oh, let's hear it.
Do I?
You have a very high register.
High.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. That's like beautiful. A nice tenor.
Oh, and the tenor. He's an alto. He goes way up there.
How many balls does a quartet have? How many balls does a quartet have?
How many I'm sorry.
Balls does a quartet have?
I would assume 8.
Nope, 16. One's a tenor.
Yeah.
Girls, I couldn't wait till you got here to tell you that.
He was saving it.
Yeah.
No, I used her last week.
Yeah, I loved her reaction. No, her reaction, Merritt's reaction was, nah.
I get that a lot from her. That is normally the reaction I receive from Merritt.
All right, listen, Merritt Cruz, Madison Hayes Crook, and Daniela Richards want you to go see Disenchanted. It's at the Randolph Theater here in Toronto, ticketfly.com. Thank you, ladies, women.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in here and brightening up our day.
One thing I will ask, when you sang that song, when it got to the bad words, you sort of, on the stage, would you say the bad words?
No, on the stage, we actually, Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty come out and join me, and Cinderella's got a triangle and Sleeping Beauty's got a duck call.
Oh, I see.
So they leap over it until the end when we sing in usually 5-part harmony, fuck you.
That's great.
Fuck you. But you were told that this is an explicit channel. And that you
That's
can you
yes.
can do whatever you
yes.
want,
yes,
and yeah, very nice. All right, well, listen, you guys.
Hey, we actually end the show with me doing her final riff.
Well, listen, you guys. Should we take a break now? I think we should. That'll make it easy. All right, kids. Once again, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Right, screaming women. Stop. We'll take a quick break around North America live on Sirius XM around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. Come and see us in a second.
This is Jesus Trejo. You're listening to Canada Laughs on XM Radio.
Stick a knife inside me and twist it all around. I want love to grab my fingers gently, slam them in a doorway, put my face into the ground. I want love.
And welcome back to Humble and Fred Radio.
You know what we need here? And see if it can be done.
What's that, bud?
You know what we need here?
Thank you.
And, and I think it can be done.
What's that, Fred?
A light for the phone. When it rings, there's a big light and we can tell. Rather than always having
right
to be
here.
Look.
No, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Okay. That can be done.
What are you doing? What are you saying?
We need a ringtone.
Okay. Yeah.
Just a little light there so you can't help but know when the phone's ringing, because I'll tell you, the past few days since we started this little phone campaign, it's been ringing off the hook.
Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, who's this?
This is Dan.
Hey, Dan, what's up, bro?
I've been watching the World Series, and I was thinking about the Blue Jays getting into the World Series. I'm a Kansas City Royals fan, and I'm thinking about starting a movement for an exchange rate for baseball.
What do you mean?
Well, the Canadian dollar, what is it now? American dollar over there is $1.25.
Oh, at least.
What about runs scored? If the Americans get 4 runs, shouldn't it be 5?
Oh, I get it.
Oh, I see what you're saying, because of the exchange.
Well, wouldn't that work against the Blue Jays?
It would, but I'm a Royals fan, remember?
Oh, yeah, okay. Remember, he's a KC fan.
No, but on the phone you told me you were wishing the Blue Jays had got through. I'm sorry.
Yeah, hey, Dan.
So it'd be easier for American teams to get the...
I got a question about Kansas
City. He's calling from the United States, by the way.
How was George Brett this year? Did he have a good season? How's the Brett man? Is he still hitting for power?
No, man. He's in my memory, he is.
You know, it's funny. I saw this baseball documentary recently called Fastball.
Yes.
Talking about the sort of the over the 100 years of how pitchers started, you know, throwing it faster and faster and how they measured it. And at one point, at several points in the doc, you'd love it if you're a baseball fan. George Brett is talking about, because they're talking about guys they faced. And you know what? He's one of those men that's aged pretty well. And yeah. He's got the puffy, doughy thing going.
Yeah.
But he has aged nicely. He still looks, you know, in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy that probably mm-hmm. hasn't been active in a sport in 15 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you said in upstate New York?
I live just a couple of miles north of Niagara Falls, New York. Mm. It's called a place Ransomville. A rural community.
Did you say north of Niagara Falls, New York? That's Canada, isn't it?
Between Niagara Falls, New York,
yeah.
and Lake Ontario, right between the two.
Oh, yeah, okay. yeah.
I'm right here. I'm not far from the... And on a windy day, I can hear the falls roaring.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But
you know, another reference, Howard said George Brett from the old days of the Kansas City Royals, because he was maybe the first real sidearm guy, was Dan Quisenberry. Remember him?
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
Threw from the side?
Mm-hmm. How about... Al Rabaski.
Oh, that's right. The Mad Hungarian.
Yeah, the Mad Hungarian.
That's right. Can't say that now.
Yeah.
Why?
I have actually two good memories of baseball in Toronto in your older stadium, the CNE Stadium.
Oh, that's
the Exhibition Stadium, yeah.
George Brett.
Pardon me?
I met Brett in your stadium.
I'm sorry, you met George Brett there?
Yes, I took my daughter there to get a signed autograph, and here he comes right over to her. He's like, 3 feet from me.
Well, that was that crazy series in 1985 when the Jays were up 3-1 and then lost it in Game 7. Yeah?
No, that was the World Series, but I'm talking about...
No, it was the American League Championship Series. Yeah.
Excuse me?
It was the American League Championship Series,
yes,
85.
I met him in 89, I think.
Okay.
Is
your second memory similar?
No. When I was 16... When I was 16, I actually shook Jackie Robinson's hand.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow. Now, that's something.
That is something.
That's like, that's like up there with you meeting Muhammad Ali.
Yes.
Really. Howard met Muhammad Ali once and shook his hand, right?
I shook his hand. I got his autograph.
Seriously, wow. Jackie Robinson would be right up there.
As a baseball fan. Mm-hmm. Hey, New Yorker, thanks for calling us.
You guys would not support me with a petition to get that exchange rate?
No.
Yeah, that's a good bit.
Now
man.
You're just
thank
being
you,
silly.
Dan.
Come on, Dan. Quit fucking around.
Okay. Right, bye.
Bye-bye, Dan. There's fucking Dan.
Hi, who's this?
It's Barker.
Barker.
Shut up.
Barker, how you feeling there, love?
Not so great. I'm driving back to the hospital now for more tests.
Okay, so I let everyone know that last night you weren't feeling well. I gave you an examination in the restaurant. Ironically enough, I was called on to use my medical powers to save another person's life. So I've told that story, but I'm more concerned with what's going on with your... Is it a hernia? Is it...
Well, the woman, the doctor felt it and felt kind of what you felt, you being a doctor as well. She felt kind of in the same area, like on my right side, and said, there's something here. There's something off here. And she said, I think it's a hernia, but they wanted to rule out gallbladder. So,
yeah.
So I was there till 3 getting blood tests and stuff while they ruled out gallbladder. So they ruled that out, so that's good, I guess. So now I'm going back for an ultrasound to St. Joe's.
So the doctor has sort of a similar thing. As I said, it might be a hernia, but when I felt it the second time, I was feeling for something protruding through your abdomen, and I don't have as much experience with hiatal hernias as I do with groinal.
You didn't recommend an internal investigation back here?
Not with Amanda Barker. I mean, we came back here, but not for that kind of thing. She's a colleague. That would be like, hey, Phil, let me stick a finger up your bum. Let me sure it's all right.
Oh, my cockhole thing. I got to figure out my
cockhole. All right, Phil.
Okay, Phil.
All right, Phil.
So, Barker, how do you feel? Do you feel any better? Did they give you anything for the pain? Did they say take a Tylenol? What did they say?
Oh, no. They didn't give me anything. At 3 a.m., I was just like, can I go, It had been a long day, Howard, and I was pretty wiped. And anyway, so they said ultrasound is closed. They have to come back in at 9 tomorrow morning to get that. So off I go, yeah.
So what time did you arrive at the hospital again?
Howard, what time did I leave you?
You texted me at 9:45 from emergency.
So you were there a good over five hours?
Yeah.
That blows, eh? Well, anyway, what are you going to do? It's free.
It's free, though, and... Actually, I have a friend/colleague visiting from New York who came and visited me and while I was there. And as we were leaving, she's like, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen, that we just walked out and no one handed you a bill.
Yeah, Amanda's friend came in from New York last night, and I guess to an American, it took a while. What Amanda has isn't emergency, worthy, but to an American, just leaving the hospital and, not having a bill in your hand must seem odd.
And it wasn't an emergency, and the friend not only called, went over.
Yeah. We had this discussion earlier. When I was having my hernia operation, Fred called me, and he was actually arguing with himself because he can't believe he did that 15 years ago. Maybe you liked me better then.
No, I don't think I did.
Fred, have you
I think
heard?
I like you better now.
Not me. So your friend literally came to visit you in emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my friend can't believe he called me 15 years ago to see if I was okay
for a routine surgery, like a hernia thing.
Yeah, maybe back in those days, that was before you crusted over like a scab.
Mm-hmm.
That was before your heart became hardened by life.
I gotta tell you, I know somebody because everyone I know dies. I know somebody from New Brunswick that died of a hernia surgery, so,
This is what I was trying to say to Fred. 100 years ago, one of the leading causes of death in surgery was hernia surgery.
Yes.
Yeah, but there are those death stories about everything.
No.
I'm talking generally.
I know.
He was a doctor, too, that died.
Hey, Barker, I'm really glad you're okay. I sent you a text there. I wasn't sure if you were going to wake up and go to work today. We don't want to dwell on this because, it's hard for me to talk about. I mean, lately I've been saving so many lives, it becomes a blur. But how would you describe last night's Italian restaurant emergency?
Well, you were the hero of the night. I think it's simple to say that. It was a weird moment. There are these rowdy women with cardigans. Who looked like they were out for a book club meeting. And I think there was one or two gentlemen in that mix. And the door closed, and suddenly we heard like a rah, 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 and it sounded like they were all getting into a brawl outside, but I guess it was some guy who fainted and was yelping. It was weird.
That's right. That's what I said. When we first heard the noise, we thought, okay, is this thing turning into a fist fight on the Queensway on a Thursday night? Do I want to get involved with old people throwing beat downs on each other?
Oh, it hurts a lot, but yes.
Anyway, it all worked out, and the guy was fine, and I ruled out a lot of stuff, and I think it would have been funny now that I think about it if you went up in emergency next to this dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're like, who's your doctor? And he's like, I think it's your friend.
Yeah.
It's your buddy.
And Dr. Glassman.
Well, listen, Barker, I'm glad you're at least getting this thing checked out, because that's what I kept saying to her. Dude, it's been hurting you for 2 weeks.
I'm busy.
Yeah, but you can't do that.
Yeah, you're busy until your abdomen explodes.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, and they were trying to figure out if it was an appendix thing. There were lots of tests.
Okay, man. Well, let us know later in the day if you're okay. Or, if you happen to pass away on the table today from hernia surgery, joke's on us.
Bye.
Bye, Barker. There we go. What are you looking up? You look like you're researching something.
Oh, no, just an impending guest. It's all right. We can talk about it later.
Okay. Let's talk about FYI music news right now.
Let's do it right now, my friends.
Let's not another second go by before we wonder what's happening at FYIMusicNews.ca.
Well, so much, Howard.
Linda.
How about this? Shania Twain has been officially designated a Canadian icon. Huh? How about that? Come with me. She has 3 double diamond awards. I love Shania Twain. That album what was that album with Just Like a Man and Woman or what?
I Feel Like a Woman.
I fucking love that album. when it was current, I did. I would play it during my housework. Christopher Ward's Great Big Much Music Reunion Party. Now, that was a big event last week, and all the former DJs were there, or MJs, or what do you call it?
VJs. That wasn't
they
Boone,
were all there.
Didn't Boone say something about Christopher Ward coming to his house?
Yeah, he was still trying to nail that down. You know who was there? I mean, Steve Anthony was there. We all love Steve Anthony, don't we?
At Boone's house?
No, no.
Oh, at the party.
At the Christopher Ward Much Music Party.
Sure.
Remember Monica Diol?
Oh, well, of course I do. She's a juice factory.
Yeah, well, she was there.
Come on.
Like, she left Much Music. Huh?
Yeah, Electric. Dude, do you know that Humble and Fred were actually guests on Electric Circus?
Really?
Yes, man. It was really funny.
Did you guys dance?
No. Yeah. They had us in a green room with our pants around our ankles.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, the whole bit was...
What was that bit?
The bit was we were trying to get on Electric Circus. We had Monica on the show a few times, and she finally relented and had us on Electric Circus, but the bit was we never quite got on. So they kept cutting to us the green room. I don't know why we had our pants down. Maybe as a bit. Like we were getting changed.
Oh, it was a great bit.
Oh, yeah.
When all else fails, drop your drawers.
It was a great bit, because 20 years later, we can't remember why we thought we fucking thought that was funny. But let's debate it. Okay, FYM Music.
Anyway, if you go to fymmusicnews.ca, a journal about Canada's music industry, you know what? Enjoy. You can read all about that party.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great, man. Tim Nibble is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. What are you doing with your money? Are you focusing on retirement? Are you one of those people that think, I'll worry about it when, you know, it gets here? The deal with Tim, it's all about wealth and preservation. It's all about a way to make sure you have enough money to live on for the rest of your life. You know, a lot of people think, okay, I've got this amount. And then, you know, darn it all, they outlive their dough. Have a plan. Figure it out. Know if you're on track for your goals. Minimize your tax burden and so much more.
Tim.Niblett at RaymondJames.ca.
Tim.Niblett. You're Timmy.Niblett, man.
And a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund.
Yes, that's phenomenal. Producer Morgan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Producer Morgan, representing.
Yeah, I honestly think you got to crank a little Led Zeppelin every day, man. I couldn't help but chair dance right there.
You love your Zepp, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys were on Electric Circus. I used to watch that back in the day, but I don't remember seeing guys on there.
You know, Linda, we could do... You have no idea the stuff we've done and the things we've put ourselves through over the years.
It's funny when you sit here and do a show such as this where you actually get to talk and not have 30-second snippets between walls of music. When we start talking, all the stuff that comes back... You don't sort of officially remember this stuff or it's nowhere but in the back of your head. And then you start talking, and then these memories. Like being on Electric Circus. I mean, it took the trigger there of Monica Diol. There's just so much stuff like that over the years that we did that I've even forgotten about. I've forgotten more than you know, Phil.
Here's something that we did that got a lot of attention at the time. So at Queen and John in Toronto was sort of the epicenter of Canadian cool culture in the 80s. It was Much Music and it was City TV. And it was like, you know, I don't care what the rest of the country says. You know, a lot of those VJs like Erica M and Christopher Ward and Steve Anthony, that's kind of the late 80s, early 90s when they still played videos and all that sort of, you know, sort of loosey-goosey TV style. And they had this little thing down there called Speaker's Corner. And it was, they made it into, people would come and they'd put money in, they'd say things.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the original social network.
Because what it was.
Because Moses and his, you know, genius took those clips, played that in between videos, and then once a week they'd have a half an hour show of all the goofy things people would say.
And everybody would watch to either see themselves or their friends.
And there was legendary stories of the people that worked at cities talking about people coming there in the middle of the night having sex in the booth and on and on. So we, when we first started the Humble and Fred show, we, you know, positioned ourselves as the underdogs of radio. And one of the things we did is we said, okay, we don't have enough money for a real big radio campaign on television. Mm-hmm. So Fred and I and Dan went to Speaker's Corner and did a series of spots.
Wow.
And you know what? They fucking ran them. And it was kind of like a little bit that we, you know, hey, it's the Humble and Fred show. Listen to us on CFNY. This is Dan Duran, and we all squeeze into the booth, and it was quite the little thing that we did. It was kind of a cute, but, you know, guerrilla marketing kind of thing.
See, I forgot all about that.
No, I know.
Completely forgot about that.
Didn't the Bare Naked Ladies get started there too?
They performed.
They performed.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's not how they got started, but they did the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Linda Morgan's here. Morgs, what's one of your stories? Ege, why don't you come and finish the show? No, put the chair, Phil. Why are you in such a hurry to get away from the microphone?
No, I just want to make...
You're this show's biggest star. You are this show's biggest star, and you just can't... Every time I motion someone, you just get your headphones off.
Well, I'm just being graceful.
Goodbye,
all.
Phil.
I'm just being graceful.
This show needs you, Phil.
I get the impression the minute you arrive, you're thinking about leaving. Oh, he's laughing that off, but there's something to it.
What do you got there, Linda?
Well, there's this new book that just came out. It's called Unmentionable, The Victorian Lady's Guide to Sex, Marriage, and Manners. And it just talks about a lot of the crazy things that Victorian women were told about sex. One thing was, a drunken roll in the hay will produce idiot children. Well, that's true to some extent, you know. I mean, with like fetal alcohol syndrome, I guess. But there's also.
Did things just get weird? I was like, okay, when are we talking about some Victorian something? Next thing you know, we're talking about fetal alcohol syndrome in the Middle Ages.
Oh, you know, that's SIDS.
All right.
Having sex standing up from behind or with knees drawn up was also discouraged because no female can desire such intercourse because she cannot enjoy it. And also apparently, sex standing up can kill you. That was another thing that they were told.
It's not easy. I'm going to tell you.
For what reason though? How could it kill you?
Well, if somebody falls on you, breaks a femur. If you have a femur broken.
Now I get it.
All right.
Yeah, they were told something about their organs being destroyed. Okay. That kind of thing.
Anything more? Is there another thing?
Is there another crazy thing from Victorian times?
Bonking more than once a month can harm the organs from accumulation of nervous force.
Oh, on the back off of splooge.
Yeah. The splooge plunger needs to be evacuated. The splooge machine. Linda, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Is there more
much.
Wacky things from Victorian age?
Just one more here.
Okay.
Sex after a big meal can trigger a stroke.
Oh, it can. What about if you have too?
I can see that.
Or if you have too much vigorous sex after a big meal, you shit yourself.
You know, in this advanced age, when I've eaten too much, it's not too often anymore, but I have, like a couple of weeks ago there at Thanksgiving, I get a pain on my shoulder. It's weird.
Yeah. No, actually,
what would that be about?
No,
it's
not in your shoulder. It's kind of up in here.
Yeah, what is that?
It's between your shoulder and your neck.
What is that?
It's just one of those things. It's like your body's signaling you, fucking stop already.
No, it's true. And it's like, and it's a little unsettling because you think, is this...
Seriously, I get the same thing when
do you really?
On my second jerk off of a day. Sometimes it's like, you're enough already. On my second jerk off. First one's fine.
I kind of get that one.
So you've already had it today?
No, not yet. Sometimes, though. Sometimes before a show, just to relax. Idris, I'm sorry. Are we back to Victorian fucking times?
I was just going
to
say, I can kind of get that one, too, because, you know, after you eat a big meal, you're so full, you just want to sit there and do nothing, right?
Yeah. Oh.
That's my kind of sex.
Or you sit there and go, yeah.
Hey,
just have your way with me. I'm too busy to move, or too full to move.
Idris, what do you think about that? What do you think about that?
About Victorian sex?
I don't know.
Victoria's Secret. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When you say Victoria's Secret, it sounds like a jerking off underneath the desk.
Have you seen that catalog? Jesus.
Yeah,
Christ.
I've seen
I'd
it.
Rather see that than naked women.
Okay.
Okay.
I got a couple things I want to run by
What's
you.
What's that?
I've got my oldest brother, his oldest friend. You've met him. We hung out with them in Moose Jaw when we were there 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
Jukesy. David Jukes.
I remember him, yeah.
Big guy. Rugby player, sort of 64 years old. I've known him my whole life. He's like a member of the Glassman family.
I remember him.
He was my father's financial guy. You know, like he's been around the family as long as I can remember. And he's coming to Toronto on Sunday to hang out. He's got to go to
For the first time ever in his life?
Well, he originally it was for the first time. But about a month ago, I get a call. And he was in town for a conference. He's in like the mutual fund industry or whatever. And he was here for a baseball game and a conference. But I don't think he saw much of the city. So here's my question to you, a longtime Torontonian. He's basically going to be here Sunday afternoon and then leaving on Monday morning off to somewhere
in South America for a rugby conference. Here's my question. Mm. What do I do?
In that brief amount of time?
Well, that's when I want to, I'm going to get him from the airport around 11:30 on Sunday. And I'm just curious about an itinerary. Like, what would you do with somebody that's really been here before? Idris.
Take him to Muse.
Okay. Good one. Okay. Excellent. Excellent suggestion. So a rub and tug. But I don't know. They would probably have those in Moose Jaw, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Likely. But probably Muse. Regina.
Yeah, certainly there'd be rub and tugs on Regina. What about, do you think it's too cheesy to take him to the CN Tower?
No, because if this is the big city, then, you know, that's the tallest building in the big city.
Who's going to reach for their wallet? It's like $40 now to get up there.
It is. Oh.
You know, that's an interesting point, too. I'm like, he's coming here to visit, but I'm not, like, paying for shit, am I? No.
Well, if you say, I'm taking you to the CN Tower, that's going to be awkward when you walk up to the wicket booth or the ticket booth.
Well, he probably has a mutual fund to cover that.
When you walk to the little midget in front of the place selling tickets.
And I'm halfway serious about this because I've had nothing but great experiences. You know those double-decker buses that in most major cities you go? And
yeah,
you
the
pay
hop
like,
on, hop off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've done it.
Like, I bet you the Toronto one is great. And I'm completely serious.
No,
if
I know
somebody's
you are.
Here for such a brief period of time,
yes.
I bet you'd even enjoy that.
Like yeah,
you don't have to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you wanted to get off for lunch and do something or get off at another place, I'm serious, okay?
But my only question about that is, and I'm being
serious.
Somewhat serious.
Mm.
I'm not as serious as you.
Mm. No.
I'll be a little less serious. Why would I need to get on a hop-on, hop-off bus when I could just drive them around these places by myself?
You wouldn't have to worry about the driving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You could shoot the shit.
Talk while you drive?
You could enjoy some of the sights and scenes that you've probably never.
Sights and sounds.
Listen, it's only a suggestion. You don't have to start poking holes in it.
I'm not arguing. I'm just asking. I'm just looking for some information.
Well, when you drive, you're distracted, so it's actually a good thing to maybe take transit.
How fucking distracted are you? How distracted are you when you drive? You can't talk?
Does he medicate?
Does he medicate?
Yeah.
No, he's a big drinker. Yeah. I'm going to have to figure that out.
Take him to the, whatchamacall then?
The dispensary?
No, what's that place downtown? The beer market. Just sitting there all afternoon.
Yeah.
Sit in your own urine.
Sit in your own urine.
Yeah, drink beer till you can't move.
So let me just review. So I take this guy that's never been to Toronto to the beer market. I don't let him use the washroom. Because that's how we do it in the big city. That's what we do in the big town, buddy.
Prove you're a man, Jukesy.
Jim on, Jukesy. Hey, where's the washroom in this place? We don't have washrooms in Toronto. Fuck that shit.
We go in the street.
That's right. Or we just sit here on our own urine.
You know what the funny thing is, though, in a situation like this? You really don't know what the mindset is of the person coming.
That's right.
You could have all this stuff planned, and the whole time they're thinking, oh, fuck, you know, I don't really want to do all this touristy thing. I'd rather be sitting in a bar having a few beers.
In my own urine.
So how do you...
I don't know.
You just got to ask him, to be honest.
No,
what do you want to do?
Money aside, mm-hmm. The only reason that I would take him to the top of the CN Tower, because Sunday's supposed to be pretty nice here in the city in terms of, you know, visibility. Mm, but that was the word. And I think going to the top of the CN Tower, as cheesy as it sounds, I just think for somebody, I know if I were from Moose Jaw, and I'd only ever been here once for a day or two, and I didn't really get a sense of how big it is, because even now after living here for a long, long time, when I fly into Toronto, coming back from Calgary this summer, you just get an amazing, the physical space that we live in.
How about this?
Okay.
Jukesy, I'm going to give you some advice. Rather than spend $80 for the two of us to go to the CN Tower, when your plane's landing, open the fucking window.
That's a good one. Yeah,
seriously.
Seriously. When the plane's landing, open the window, have a beer, shit yourself, and call me next time you're in town.
I've often thought about that, this tourist attraction where you go, hi, well, I can see that when I'm from a plane.
Okay. I'll go with you. Sure.
Are you going to do the thing?
I'm serious.
No, but you can't get a sense. You can't look around and see there's Scarborough, there's Hamilton, there's North York. I mean,
you don't get to look at it.
You'll say, hey, Jukesy, there's Scarborough. Yeah.
Okay. So what is your opposition to the CN Tower? Is it because it's $40 fucking? Is that your point?
That would be at the top of the list.
You know,
however, that hanging off it thing looks pretty intriguing.
Fuck that. I could never do
it. No,
that.
Either could I, but no. It looks... People are flocking for that.
I think that's a little bit of overload. I pick him up at the airport. I go, hey, we're going downtown, and we're going to hang off the CN Tower until you vomit.
Great hangs with you.
Great hang... Always... Hey, always great hangs with you, Phil. Oh,
yes, take him to hangs. That... Take him to that steakhouse that you were talking about yesterday.
Fuck that. And that's another thing. Hey, by the way, that's another thing. What? If he's in town and I'm like showing him around and then we go up for dinner now, shouldn't he sort of treat me?
Well, if
like,
it's a business trip, he probably will.
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what kind of trip it is, but, you know, that's going to be awkward.
If I was you, I'd just pay. You really like the guy, don't you?
Yeah. He's been a family. He's like one of my, he's one of my buddies.
So buy the guy dinner.
The fuck?
What's the big deal?
Wait, a second ago, you didn't want to go to the CN Tower.
No, but that's different. $80. A nice dinner with somebody you love is different than going up to a cheesy tourist attraction like the CN Tower. That's all. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Look out the plane window.
All right.
For Christ's sake.
All right. Okay. I'll text him today and say, listen, I was going to take you to one of the wonders of the free world, but just look out the fucking window when you land. Save me $80, fucker. All right.
That's my advice.
That's my Howie.
This episode of Hummel and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Storefront Studios. More Hummel and Fred next week and online at HummelandFredRadio.com.